ready to rock and roll.
Beautiful. Simon called me through the week and he was like, oh, what's your title for the sermon? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I needed a title first. But when we were doing the Bible training college, as Simon constantly said to us, you know, write down your spiritual thoughts. And this one, for whatever reason, I titled it Beaten by God. But probably doesn't look too good. So we changed it to, actually, I don't even remember what we changed it to. Faith that shapes us. There you go. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 25. So just reading down to verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold around about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and the 2 rings shall be on the one side of it, and the 2 rings on the other side. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall be taken from, shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark of the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make the 1 cherub on the 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even on the mercy seat shall them, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look on to one another, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seats above upon the ark, and in the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all these things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So, sort of at this time, I guess, you know, Moses has taken the children. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Bit loud. Oh, beautiful. So at this time, you know, Moses has taken the children out of children of Israel out of Egypt, and sort of got a bit of a picture there. I guess you've got the 2 priests that are busy carrying the ark, a bit of the testimony. So what that verse is about them essentially starting to build the ark and the tabernacle and the like. And today, I guess the real focus I sort of wanted to be on was the actual ark itself. So sort of had 3 elements to it, if you imagine, and the funnel graph doesn't have a nice picture of the ark, so we have to use that one, but it's sort of got the vessel, which is the ark itself. You know, that was the body of the ark, and you have the cast rings that the shittim wood goes into, and that's what the priests would use to move the ark around. You have the mercy seat. That's sort of a reflection of, I guess, God, and where God would communicate with the children of Israel from. And then you got the cherubims. So the cherubims, they're essentially a reflection of creation, you know. So it sort of reflects, I guess, in a way, the ark in itself, almost the throne of God. I've recently sort of taken a bit of interest in it. In fact, I've probably had an interest in it since I was quite young, in how to make jewelry. And so I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos and the like. And in very broad sense, there's sort of two ways that you make a ring. The first is lost wax carving. And what you do there is you essentially take a piece of wax and you carve it and you shape it and you make it look however you want the ring to actually look. All the time with lost wax carving is really spent in you making that mold. That's where you add the intricate detail and what have you. And once you've got your little wax, you basically pour it in a type of plaster of Paris, and that creates the mold. And it's quite a quick process from there. You know, you melt the metal, you pour it in, and you've got your ring. The second method is, smithing. So, you know, it's your fabrication method, and that's when you take sheets of gold and you sort of beat them, you sort of mold them, and you turn them into what you want the ring to look like, you know, heat up the metal. It's, akin to like iron smithing. The difference there, though, whereas the lost wax carving, that time is in the mold. With the smithing, the time's all in that end product and the actual smithing component, you know, the beating of the work. You know, just looking at the crafting methods that they mentioned of the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, you have the mercy seat, mentioned in verse 17 there. There's no actual crafting method specified. Once again, a reflection of God. There is no crafting method. God just was. You know, he wasn't part of creation. He was the creator. You've got the Ark, and I think the important notes for me is the rings, the actual four rings that the staves used to lift up, and they were cast. So, you know, the time was when they were casting was actually in the mold. The actual casting of them is quite a quick process. And then you have the cherubim, so that represents creation. Those are works that were beaten, you know, so they were made of beaten works, and the verse there is verse 18. So, I guess the ark in itself, it's a symbol of the old covenant God had with the children of Israel. And obviously we fall under, I guess, the New Testament. You know, Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again. And, you know, we're made clean because of his blood. It was a bit of a different sort of way of God dealing with the children back then. And when we accept Christ, I guess we almost get our own personal ark in a figure of speech. You know, we get our own promises, our own method of communication, etc., our own method of sacrifice, you know, bringing our lives as a living sacrifice, the Bible says to the Lord. And just similar to I guess what the Israelites did, they brought their offering to God, and that's what they used then to create the ark. You know, we bring ourselves to God. That is the offering that we bring. So I'm going to delve into, I guess, the little pieces, the various elements that I mentioned, you know, the mercy seat, the cherubims, and the rings. And I hope you guys can get something from this and sort of the bit of the spiritual truth that I've taken from it. So the cherubims, they are that representation of creation, similar to us. We were created by God. And, you know, how were they made? They were made by their beaten works. And I'll get you to turn your Bible to Hebrews 12. Sorry, my Bible seems to be glitching out. sorry? No, that's all right. That's fine. Hebrews 12. And if you go down to verse 5, Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So how does God mold us? You know, he puts us through chastening. And not for any other reason other than for our own benefit. And, you know, just like when things happen in life, it can be a bit of a struggle. You know, no one necessarily likes going through chastening, but that's God, I guess, taking that beaten works and sort of molding it. And I'll just get you turned to Philippians 1:6 as well. Being confident, so Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I think that's key. It is a good work that he's begun into us. And he's not going to stop it, you know. It's going to be a constant thing, and it's for so that we, I guess, can bring fruit as well. You know, the Bible also talks about any branch that doesn't bring fruit, get cut down, etc. And it's about building us so that we can, I guess, impact those around us and bring them closer to Christ. And you know, similarly to the jewelry smithing side of it, this is the part that takes the most work. You know, the lost wax carving, the time is in the mold, but the time is actually in the smithing. So it's probably the hardest part, is that transformation, that renewing of our mind to walk in a more Christ-like sort of life. Sort of brings me, I guess, to the cast rings. And this is akin to, I guess, jewelry making, your lost wax method, in that the time is really spent in that mold. You know, and it's important to note that those cast rings were the things that supported the ark. So I'll get you a chance to swap over to Psalm 55:22. And if you also want to go to Peter at the same time, 1 Peter. So Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, that's something I think we probably struggle with the most, is often actually taking our burdens and then bringing them to the to the Lord. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, all we need to do is really cast those burdens to the Lord, and he will carry us. Just like those rings that support the ark, you know, it's about us actually coming to the Lord and letting him carry us. And I think the good part about it is, you know, the lost wax method, you know, the casting, the works, most of the work has already been done by the Lord. You know, so when we're saved him, it's only those final polishing side of it. And, you know, really, if you think about it, the polishing of the rings, what is that? That's us actually learning to bring our troubles and bring our worries to the Lord and actually put them on him so that he can actually carry us. Because that's what those cast rings were for the ark, is to carry the ark. And that's really what it is. It's a picture of the Lord trying to carry us. We just need to be willing to give us those burdens. And I think when you do give those burdens, you know, it does sort of ease your mind a little bit as well. And just to, I guess, share a bit of a personal story that I've been through recently is I ended up in hospital probably about 6 weeks ago now, maybe a little bit less. And they found in my blood, they did blood tests and everything, and I was all fine. It's sort of had tonsillitis and my airways were closing off, but they sorted it very quick. But they found melanomycetes in my blood. And I think that's probably correct terminology, how you define it. And melanomycetes, there's two causes. It could just be because of the infection. The other is it could be because you have cancer or leukemia, more specifically. So I had sort of 4 weeks where I had to wait until this whole infection had cleared out and had to get bloods. And it's interesting, I went to go get bloods from the lady, and she sort of, she's like, oh, melanomycetes. I'm like, yeah, look, I thought I might have leukemia. So I sort of just getting my last bloods to make sure they're sort of all clear. And she, which they were, just... so that was great. But it was interesting. So she sort of said to me, "Oh, that must have been, you know, you must have been really worried over the last 4 weeks." And, you know, admittedly, I'm human. So when I first sort of found out, oh, I might have leukemia, there was a bit of a, oh, okay, that's, you take a bit of a step back and things. And but I sort of said to her, I was like, you know, I'm Christian myself, and not really. I was like, you know, death isn't that much of a scary prospect to me. And even, you know, it was sort of getting the bloods drawn to check if I don't or do. And it wasn't that big a deal, you know, because I think any of that burden that I did have when I first had that initial sort of shock, I'd already put onto the Lord. And so for me, it was, you know, I think, what's the verse? It's to live is glory, but to die is gain, or something along those lines. And it really isn't either way. I mean, it's great not to have cancer, don't get me wrong. I've got a young family and what have you. But yeah, it is. It's that learning to cast any of those burdens over onto the Lord. So the final element of the ark, I guess, is that that mercy seat. And as I said before, there was no method of manufacturing, casting, jury, etc., whatever you want to call it. You know, it wasn't beaten work. It wasn't cast. It just was. The Exodus in Exodus 25 doesn't mention how it was made. And that is, once again, that's a representation of God. The mercy seat, it was said that was where they where God came and communicated with the children of Israel. And I guess for us, it's, you know, the rules are a little bit different. We have our own form of mercy seat, if you want to do that, want to call it that, our method of communication, but it's not quite the same. It's sort of, I'll explore a couple of verses. If we go to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, if you go down to verse 14. All right, so Hebrews 4, chapter 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him in time of need. You know, and that's key. Come boldly to the throne of God. You know, and I hope that verse can help strengthen the polishing, if you want to call it, of the cast rings to support. You know, we have a God that's not afraid to speak to us. We have a God that's willing to communicate with us. And all it takes is for us to actually come boldly to that throne. You know, how often do we actually have worries? And instead of probably going straight to God and thinking, you know, Lord, help me with this, and casting that burden onto him, we're very quick to try and wear it ourselves. Lord knows I do that all the time, probably to the very frustration of my lovely wife. you know, and it is. You've got to remember that you've got that throne that you can sort of come to. And I'll get you turn as well to 1 Thessalonians verse 5. Oh, chapter 5, sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and just down to verse 16. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But pray without ceasing. It says it as it says it, pray without ceasing. You know, there shouldn't be a moment in your life that you're going that you're not praying to the Lord, not at that throne, boldly standing there. You know, and I think if you can take anything away from this is really about the fact that, you know, we have a God that is willing to listen and to help us. And I guess, you know, it sort of just to summarize sort of what I've been speaking about, you know, the first key, if we go back to Exodus 25, was that the Israelites brought their offering to God. You know, so we bring our lives, we need to bring our lives to God. He will beat us. He'll make us into the form that he desires. You know, just like the cherubims, we'll go through chastising, but all for our betterment. Not like, I guess, from the fleshly, as I sort of mentioned, you know, the fathers in the flesh that did it unto their own pleasure. This is all for his glory, all for our betterment, all for us. You know, he gives us that strength to carry on. We just need to give him those worries. And it is, you know, that work was done for us, you know, just like the smithing period. God's already made the mold. It was just a case of the casting. Our polishing piece is just letting us actually bring those worries to him. And then the other part, and I think the key thing, is have comfort in that the Lord is always there with us, you know, and that we can boldly approach that throne, pray without ceasing, bring it to the Lord. That's sort of me done, guys. I guess we'll go to the next. It was probably a little bit quicker than what we were thinking. I was thinking, but I hope you guys get something from that. And yeah, amen. Next song, which I actually don't have the piece of paper in front of me, so we'll move on to that. 125.